Save big on your next landscaping project at Menards. We make landscaping simple with our free, easy-to-use design program and step-by-step project guides. Plus, we have the largest in-stock selection of concrete landscape blocks at the best prices. Save big on our 12-inch smooth patio blocks on sale now. Stop in to see our full selection and get your project started. Check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Coming to you live from a different country. And by different country, we mean finally a country that isn't the United States. It's like we were always here in the U.S. and never anywhere else. We live here, so it makes sense, but, you know, we're in a different country, Interdimensional RSS, the unofficial Rick and Morty podcast.
That's right, the great nation of Interdimensional RSS, coming to you, you know, it's interdimensional, it's everywhere.
Yeah.
And but mostly in the U.S.
But mostly in the U.S. And what's crazy is Travis and I are going to get a huge stipend pretty soon when Trump he buys us out and then we become a part of the United States.
Do tariffs affect our podcast distribution?
I mean, they very well might. If they affect penguins, by gummit, they affect us.
It's possible. All right. Well, if you're new here, wherever you're listening from, anywhere in the world, there are plenty of ways that you can catch up with us. You can follow our Facebook, facebook.com/Rick and Morty Podcast. Is our X still up and running?
It's up and running, but
Elon would have it any other way.
If you go out there and you respond to us, there's no guarantee. Well, I mean, really, there's no guarantee we're going to respond to you anywhere, but
almost ever.
Especially not at x.com/Rick and Morty Pod.
That's right. You could go to our Instagram, though, Rick and Morty Podcast on Instagram. Much more likely to get a response there. Mm-hmm. And of course, email, great way to contact us if you're over the age of 35. RickandMortyPodcast@gmail.com. Also, we're on Blue Sky. Great way to, you know, connect with the show. RickandMortyPod.bsky.social. Because mm-hmm. we're on there all the time. So much. We still are involved with the official Rick and Morty subreddit, rickandmorty.reddit.com. We also have our subreddit, rickandmortypodcast.reddit.com. And you can go to our website, rickandmortypod.com. If you want video versions of the podcast, head to YouTube, youtube.com/apathetic enthusiasm, where you can get this show as well as all of our other podcasts. 3, 4, 6, 28 shows. Who knows? Head out to the YouTube. Like, subscribe, comment, do all the things.
All of the shows that we do, and then we stop midway through. Shows like Rounding the Bases and Submitted for Your Approval, a Twilight Zone podcast.
Is Rounding the Bases on our YouTube?
No, it's not, because we didn't do a whole lot of videos over there.
Primarily an audio-based podcast.
Yeah. And then our real relationships. With me and Chelsea, that goes on YouTube.
Yes,
we do that one with my very half-assed
OBS skills.
OBS and overlays. I haven't figured that out. It's fine.
We do this because it's fun. And if you're having fun, go to patreon.com/apathetic enthusiasm. Support the podcast. Support everything that we do. Thanks to all our patrons. You are amazing.
You are.
It is May. As of this recording, we are recording this on May 14th. That mm-hmm. means we are less than 2 weeks from brand new episodes of Rick and Morty. It's happening. It's really here.
Yeah.
It's very exciting. And we have a lot to talk about.
We do.
So,
But Travis, before we get started on anything, I just want to ask you, hey, how the hell are you doing? I'm Brandon, by the way, everybody. That's Travis on the other side of the mic.
We probably didn't introduce ourselves. We were too busy talking about trade policies.
We usually it's weird. Just as far as podcasting goes, it's weird. You always have to introduce yourself because that might be the first time that anyone's ever listening to you, and so then they might get like 20 minutes in, or in our case, about 5 minutes in, and say, "Hey, who am I listening to?" Well, I'm
who
Brandon.
Are these guys?
And
I'm Travis.
That's Travis.
I'm the bald one. If you're looking at the, if you're Travis, the bald one.
That's right.
Yeah. If you're looking at the logo, which the logo hasn't been updated to add like your facial hair and like long hair. We need to update some cartoons or something.
Or the fact that I actually have a tan for like the first time in my life.
I'm gonna have to pick a different color swatch for your skin tone.
I saw my uncle for the first time in a while the other day. He was talking to me for a minute, and then he's like, "When the fuck did you get tan?"
I thought you were allergic to the sun or something.
How are you doing, Travis? Before we get into things,
I'm good. We are in the throes of postseason basketball, so my sleep schedule is all jacked up with really late games, but it's fine. It's fine. My eye is, I think I have some like grass or eyelash in there, so it's twitching. But otherwise, everything's fine. Okay. Everything's fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. This last weekend, I went to Just Like Heaven Festival, a music festival at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California.
Wow. Is that where they have the Tournament of Roses parade?
No. That's in a different place in Pasadena. The Rose Bowl is where they have a bowl tournament games that were used. I don't know. Games people play there, whatever. Doesn't matter. But Just Like Heaven Fest, a bunch of like indie bands and saw.
It's like a Christian rock concert.
It's supposed to be, I guess it's like Cure themed, but like the Cure's not there. So, you know, like, I don't know. The worst part about it was it just happened to be on the hottest day of the year so far. And no shit, like 30 minutes in the sun, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to sit in the shade for the rest of the time. And it was an all day festival. People like you, wherever shade was, is where everybody was sitting. And I was like, now you know how I feel.
Yeah. Was there a favorite act or band that you got to see?
I went to see Bloc Party. So I'm a huge fan of Bloc Party. I was able to see Of Montreal is a band that some people like. Peter Bjorn and John, they were on Yo Gabba Gabba. I know like two of their songs. And Rilo Kiley was there. It was like the first show that they've done in a long time. Group Love, they sing that Tongue Tied song.
That sounds familiar.
Yeah. The Sounds, I don't know if you know The Sounds. They're good. They're like, come on and dance with me. And they also do a cover of Living in America.
I'm pretty sure I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, but the lead singer is a woman. She was not able to be there because her visa was, there was issues with her visa. So another,
get that real ID.
Yeah. No. So anyway, it was good. Ooh,
okay.
Good show overall, other than it being so hot. But enough about me and my music.
What is this? Apathetic Enthusiasm, which by the way, if you want to hear more friendly banter between the two of us, check out Apathetic Enthusiasm, our flagship podcast. But for now, we're here to talk about Rick and Morty, and we're going to start that in a segment we like to call Semi-Pertinent News.
Semi-Pertinent News.
The remix.
Oh, by the way, I did watch there's a DJ, there was two stages there. There's a third stage, which is like Club Ronda, but it was like a DJ where they're doing DJ sets. There's a DJ that I know of from Grand Theft Auto called, his name is Tiga. He does the song Bugatti, and he was there. And so I spent a little, like maybe about an hour in the club area hoping to catch a glimpse of him play Bugatti. He didn't the entire time I was there. But let me tell you, I'm no club kid. those fucking club kids, they're kooky. They're some kooky cats.
Kooky bananas.
Anyways,
kooky
bananas. I would be a shitty DJ. Tiga, he had like a blue cap. It looked like he was a Dodgers fan. It doesn't matter. All right. Semi-pertinent news.
Semi-pertinent news. All right. Things that are coming up. We have an opening sequence. This was released about a week ago out on the YouTubes, on all of the social media platforms. But we now have, on for your viewing pleasure, the opening sequence for all of the episodes far as we know, of season 8. Hot take, Brandon. What did you think of the opening sequence?
Hot take. You know, every new season, we get a little bit of a different opening sequence, and you know, obviously, no difference here. We always kind of try to predict which of these scenes are from the actual episodes in this next season. And so that's what I'm always like trying to figure out is, okay, which one of these can actually fit into some kind of plot in Rick? I mean, they all can fit into some kind of plot, but which one are we actually going to see?
Well, yeah, because for the most part, it seems like every opening sequence for a season, there's a mix, right? Mm-hmm. There's usually about a 50-50 split of scenes that are actually clips from episodes in that season. And then half of them are just utter nonsense, things that people just made up or were like, yeah, what if they were, I don't know, being chased by, fire ants or something. This is why I don't work on the show. I just talk about it.
They're like, we need an idea fast. Travis, give us an idea fast.
Del Taco soft serve.
You're fired. Get out. Get your art pencils.
Pack up your things in that copy paper box over there.
You know, actually, it's still in the box. We hired you today. Just.
I don't even have to unpack. Literally, you didn't give me a chair. I'm sitting on the box right now.
I did. You're not even paying me for today. This is an interview.
How did you get in here?
Why are you in my house?
We've been working from home since COVID. Why are you in here right now? So opening sequences. Mm-hmm. Let's break these down. One of the first sequences is like a wrestling match where Rick and Morty are hands,
mm-hmm.
and the thumbs are the different Beths, Space Beth and
Normal Beth.
Normal Beth. non-clone Beth, clone Beth, you decide. The astute observer will notice that all of the audience is feet.
Oh.
With faces.
I didn't notice that. I'm not astute.
But yeah, it's like a weird wrestling, thumb wrestling crossover. Kind of cool. Yeah. I don't know. What do you think? Do you think this is show or no? A little segment we like to call show or no. Do you think that this is a scene from an upcoming episode or something they just made up?
No. I think it's a no. I think it'd be fun. I do like the idea of Rick with Space Beth fighting against Morty with his mom, regular Beth, and you know, like there being something there about them going after each other. But I'm gonna say no right now. What about you?
Yeah, I'm inclined to agree with you. I also do not think this is a part of an episode. But okay. You know, we'll see. Some of these always surprise us. I feel like I always pick one that's not in an episode, and then I'm totally wrong.
So keep score for us, everybody, and call us out as soon as you see this, right? We will remember this, certainly. We've taken our ginkgo biloba. Our memories are primed. We will remember
your magic mind supplements, and you're going to do the Leo DiCaprio meme where he's pointing at the screen, and you'll be watching the episode and be like, they were wrong. Part of the episode.
With his Moscow mules or whatever he's doing.
That's right. That's right. All right. Next up, we have Goat Family. Mm-hmm. This is a clip where Jerry, Rick, Morty, and Summer are anthropomorphic goats who all appear to be chowing down on a steel barrel. All right. Astute observers will notice that far in the background, there is a crack in the wall, a mouse hole, if you will, if you're a Tom and Jerry fan, with two tiny Jerrys peeking from outside. Very interesting.
That is really interesting.
What do you think? Show or no? Is the goat family gonna be part of an episode?
I'm gonna say show on this one. I'm gonna say it.
It's like the blind rankings that they do on social media, where you like you don't know what the next clips are necessarily, but you know like half of them are probably gonna have to be part of the show. So you're just working the odds here.
Yeah.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say this is also not from an episode.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Just so that we can be different, so I can be contrarian.
Little bit of knowledge that I'm going to throw at you, Travis. You know, goats don't eat everything. They don't. Part of the myth about goats eating everything, you know, tin cans, came from they would eat the paper off of tin cans. They would eat like the wrappers off of there. And so people would be like, "Oh, look, they're eating tin cans." No, what they want to do is eat the paper and eat, you know, get the glue off of there.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway, so
don't say this podcast never taught you anything.
So Rick and Morty, you know, do better. You know, instead of
when you know better, you do better.
Yeah.
Okay.
Quit promulgating stereotypes about goats.
I'm sure there's at least one Rick and Morty director that probably listens to parts of this podcast or at least likes social media posts.
Oh, no, it was a good word. I used the word correctly. Promulgate, promote or make widely known.
Good for you.
Who knew?
Good for you. That dictionary toilet paper is really paying off for you, man.
I sit there for hours at a time. I
forgot my phone. What am I going to do?
Honey, I need another roll.
All right, moving on. Our next clip is, this is a scene with we're calling it Spock-eared Morty. Morty has pointy ears. He's in some sort of generic, maybe space suit. He is fighting a version of Rick that I don't know what would you say the outfit is. It's not like Cub Scout. It's almost like grammar school. Like European grammar school or something. I don't know.
Yeah, like, it reminds me of like 20s child actor kind of outfit.
Like
Shirley Temple-ish.
It looks the most like Donald Duck's clothes. He's got like a beret and a little bow tie with like a wide collar. It kind of looks like Donald Duck clothes. But yeah, Morty's just beating the crap out of Rick in this one. What do you think, Spock-eared Morty, show or no?
I'm gonna say this is show. And I also want to say the initial thought I had was it kind of looked Twilight Zone-ish, like some of the a couple of Twilight Zone episodes where the space folk have kind of those just very, very plain suits. But then I also thought of Star Trek. So, but anyways, that aside, I think this is a show because it seems mundane enough that it would be part of the actual episode.
Yeah, I'm right there with you. I 100% agree. This is obscure and something that maybe is not part of an overall plot of the show or something, but it's just a random scene where they're like, oh, let's use that one where Morty's beating up Rick.
Yeah.
So I think this is part of the show.
Okay.
Moving on, we have the very controversial clip that people have been talking about all over the internet. This is Mr. Nimbus. This is the Nimbus kiss, if you will. Rick and Nimbus are both shirtless.
Yep.
I think they might be pantless too. I think they're just wearing very, very Speedo-esque undergarments. Rick has gills.
Yeah, he sure does. Sure does.
And they share an intimate moment in what we can only assume is like Nimbus's lair. It seems to be underwater. But yeah, Nimbus kisses Rick on the cheek and then grabs his other cheek, if you will.
and then Rick grabs his cheek. They grab each other's cheeks.
It's a lot of cheeks involved in this clip. But the question we want to know, show or no, do you think this is part of an upcoming episode from season 8?
I'm torn on this because I want to say
I think you're 1 and 2.
I want to say it's show. but also there's a part of me that's like, that'd be, they would want to show that to F with people a little bit. Yeah. I'm gonna stick with show. I'm gonna stick with show because, you know, we've seen Rick with so many different people. And when I say people, I mean Unity. So many different Unities. You know, it would be interesting to explore his Nimbus relationship, and so maybe that's what it's getting after.
Yeah, an origin story about what came between them, why they're so such mortal enemies.
Yeah,
why he controls the police
betwixt these friends.
Yeah, the backgrounds of this are very detailed. The fact that we get a two camera shot, right? Like we get like one side and then the other with even more detail, makes me really want to say this is part of an episode and not something that they just produced for the opening title sequence.
All right. So there you go. Another show for you. And then finally, the Tetris scene where all the family are Tetris pieces. And of course, Jerry is the weird diagonal piece. And he's coming down slowly in a place he shouldn't be coming down.
Really not the best spot for... I mean, obviously, the best place for Jerry is with Beth. And Beth is representing like an L-shaped piece, like a four with a corner.
Because she's on the left side of the screen, right?
Yeah, she's actually on top of Space Beth,
yeah,
which is like a 3x3 corner. Morty is right there too, but there's a perfect spot where it's not perfect, but it's the best spot that Jerry can go.
He could also go on the summer that's on the far right. It's not as good.
You leave two spaces open then. Yeah. Next to the
What's the next piece that's coming down? Because it does show what the next piece is coming.
It does. It's also not a normal Tetris piece. In fact, I don't know that any of these are normal Tetris pieces.
No, yeah.
It is four across on the bottom and then two on top, almost like a T. Not a true Tetris piece.
Right.
But that is your next piece. That would nestle perfectly next to Summer on the far right.
Yeah.
Anyway, join us for our Tetris strategy podcast available in the post show. We should probably do a post show at some point.
Yeah, we should. That's it.
Moving on. Show or no, do you think that this Tetris scene...
I don't think this is a show.
Yeah, this is not going to be in an episode for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, so check out the opening sequences. And you let us know what your thoughts are for show or no show.
Leave us a comment on the video or send us a blue sky.
Yeah.
Tweet.
Bsky.social. And also keep in mind what we put, because we guarantee we will forget what we just said throughout this episode.
I think I nailed it. I'm real confident.
Yeah. Whatever the ratio is, just know that I got 100%. And just remind me at the end of the season.
That's right.
Speaking of reminding you at the end of the season, there's a season that we call social media season, and we're right there in it. And Travis, I'd like you to introduce Dan Harmon's social media minute season.
All right, social media. All right, so this is Dan Harmon's social media minute. This is off of Dan Harmon's Blue Sky. We've mentioned Blue Sky a lot. Mm-hmm. Do you want to follow Dan Harmon? He's at danharmon.bsky.social. This is a post that he made 4 days ago. And it says, if I could say one thing to my 26-year-old self, I guess it would be, you will achieve transtemporal communication. And the impulse to use it this way says a lot about you, and none of it is good. a lot of all caps. Solid joke. Solid one. Yeah, it's good.
I can get behind it.
My question to you, Brandon, is if you could say something to your 26-year-old self, what would it be?
I was going to ask you that question, actually. I was going to ask you. So I'm very thankful that you asked me first, which makes me now know exactly what I would say to my 26-year-old self. I would say, when you're 42, you will talk to Travis, a friend that you've met and you've made in your travels. And
did
you're
you
gonna
know each other when you were 26? We had to have.
I think so. Yeah, barely. Probably. And then I'll say, you will have a podcast with him. And on May 14th at 7:12 p.m. Pacific time, he's going to ask you what you would say to your 26-year-old self. I need you to undercut him before he says that to you. And you need to ask that question first.
It's good. It's good. I wish you would have listened. must have slipped your mind.
It must have slipped.
What would I tell my 26-year-old self? Very easy. Buy Apple stock.
Buy Bitcoin is what I would tell my 26-year-old self.
Like, what's a Bitcoin? Like, don't worry. When you start hearing about it, invest.
Buy. I'm telling you, $20. Just $20. You're good. That's all you
just
need.
Trust me. This one time.
Are you Biff? Are you Biff from Back to the Future too? Like, no. No, damn it. No, this isn't a Back to the Future thing.
Doc Brown comes running out. It's about your kids. Anyway, all right. That's the Dan Harmon Social Media Minute. And that is semi-pertinent news.
Yep.
If you have a semi-pertinent Rick and Morty story that you feel like we should cover, send it to any of our socials. Send us an email. We'll talk about it on an upcoming episode. And when we come back, we have a very special interview collaboration with a listener. So stick around and we will be right back. All right, everybody. Welcome back. Thank you for sticking around. It is now time for everyone's favorite part of the show, a little segment we like to call The Main Thing.
It's the main thing. It's the main thing.
It's good.
Thanks.
It's good. Yeah.
No.
I really enjoyed that. No notes. All right. For some of you that have been listening to the show here for a little bit, you may have heard us talking about an animation festival that was taking place across the pond, if you will. This was in Stuttgart, Germany. And this was an animation event where they were going to be premiering the first two episodes of Rick and Morty season 8.
Yep.
We talked a little bit about it, I think, in semi-pertinent news. And there was no way we were going to be able to get over there. We haven't gotten our real IDs. We don't.
Nope.
You know, plane tickets are
probably expensive. They revoked our passports. Just all of the stuff.
All of those things. But thankfully, we were reached out to by a member of Unity.
That's right.
A
fan of our show, which there are actually some of you out there, which we
apparently you exist. Thank you.
Which we really appreciate.
We're never not surprised.
Somebody's still listening to this show. What the shit? An international listener, this is something that we don't even like, we don't always remember this, but like people in other countries listen to our show, which is maybe even stranger to us, like people are like, that's what Californians sound like. God, they really do. Ooh. Sound like idiots.
They say the word the in front of their interstate names.
So one of our listeners reached out to us, and she was asking, "Hey, I'm going to go to this festival out in Stuttgart. Stuttgart. I'll just say it because I don't want to screw up any accents. Stuttgart, Germany. I'm going to go to this festival anyway. I want to report on some stuff, and I was wondering like if you guys would be interested in me doing some of this reporting, and then you know giving you the information if I have an interview, pass it your way." And we're like, Yeah. Hell yeah. Hell yeah. We go to WonderCon and we've gone to conventions. We have San Diego Comic-Con, right? A lot of the world, they don't have that opportunity to go to these things. And we likewise don't have opportunities to go out there. So it was a really interesting premise for us to be like, yeah, what is the other side like? And, you know, how talking about this stuff and for Rick and Morty, you know, it's international. It's in 150 different countries. It's huge. So we leapt at the chance. And so Ulia, she went ahead and she interviewed the head of Adult Swim EMEA, which is stands for Europe, Middle East, and Africa. Yeah. What is his name? Mark Tainton. And so she sat down with him and talked to him about a bunch of different stuff about Rick and Morty, about Adult Swim in general. And so we wanted to present that as our main thing today because, well, yeah, you kick ass and we appreciate you.
Yeah. I mean, this was such a huge offer. Like we can't, like, we're so grateful that you even thought to like reach out and work with us. So yeah, like we want to play some clips from this. And I think the cool thing about this interview for us, and we joked about being from the United States and things like that, but listening to this interview really got me thinking about just how popular Rick and Morty is, not just in the United States, but all around the world, right? Like this was a animation festival for all types of animation, not just, you know, Adult Swim or even necessarily adult animation, though I think a lot of it was. And there's conversation about not just Rick and Morty, but and within the whole interview, a lot of conversation about different Adult Swim programming and things like that. But I think the first question that really stuck out to me was asking about why Rick and Morty is so popular. Mm-hmm. With fans around the world.
Yeah. And one thing I want to say is we are going to just, we're going to talk about a couple clips here. The whole interview is about 30 minutes, 35 minutes, yeah, or so. We're not going to play the whole thing here. We will release that as bonus content, as a bonus episode. But you know, we want to talk about some of the highlights that we pulled about Rick and Morty and present them to you here. So as Travis mentioned, why is Rick and Morty so popular around the world? Let's get into it.
I think Rick and Morty is such a cultural phenomenon across so many different audiences. What makes it so universally?
Yeah, I think it's a really good question, actually. I think at its heart, it feels relatable because it's essentially a family comedy and a relationship comedy. You know, it might have started with Rick and Morty, but it's really all the family and the characters have really grown. I think if you look at Summer and the character evolution of Summer, it's just, you know, incredible. And Spencer Grammer does such a great job bringing her to life. I think while most of the subject matter is probably completely unrelatable with the multiverse and time travel and, you know, different characters and all that kind of stuff, different versions of characters, I think it's just, you know, it's just a fun ensemble comedy. You know, the world's a serious place often, and I think it's just pure animated escapism. I think it's, you know, comedy, family, drama, a twist. And also I think it's such a rich, rewarding experience. There's so many layers to the series and people watch it over and over again and find something new. Visually, it's absolutely amazing. And also it takes something you think you know and turns it on its head. You know, you think you know what Rick and Morty and the characters are going to do, but sometimes they still surprise you. And I think it's, every episode feels cinematic in a way. It feels like a big epic adventure crammed into, you know, just over 20 minutes. So I think a little bit of something for everyone, I think. And the great thing is the brand is, you know, really big on social and fans are incredible. You know, the brand's been around since 2013. It's a long time. And, you know, to still see the amazing momentum and fan love behind it is really good. All the other bits, Rick and Morty t-shirts and people wearing this and playing a Rick and Morty game, I think it's really big, rich universe. You know, and being on TV brings in a slightly different audience. Social's a slightly different audience. And you know, everyone exists in this big, happy Rick and Morty bubble all over the place.
Yeah, I remember that when I first came around Rick and Morty, I knew it existed.
Yeah.
But it was very surprising to see how different the show is from the common perspective of it. I don't know, like, how much more it gives you as a story.
So I think
it's really interesting, and maybe this is just my ignorant, like, American perspective, right? But because the show is produced in the United States, it is it's made here, and like I think about the show from an American perspective, but I think it's really cool thinking about how these stories, how the idea of like a lot of these themes does resonate all around the world, and the world is such a, so much of entertainment is, it, you know, crosses borders and in different cultures that, I don't know. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. One of the thoughts that I had as I was listening to this interview was, yeah, we're not the center of the world.
well, yeah, that's fair.
Yeah. But also like, I think of anime, you talking about, My Neighbor Totoro and Robotech, and you've got, you know, all these different shows, and we talked a little bit about this with Rick and Morty anime too from time to time, of like, just like, it's weird that American animation had maybe I'm selling it short, like that American animation is like, oh, look how popular it is, look how great it is, because a lot of like I think of the mid 80s, and I think of animation in the mid 80s, and like, I'm like, it was to sell products, like G.I. Joe, like, all right, come on, buy some more G.I. Joes, buy some He-Man.
And so
shows like Rick and Morty, other Adult Swim shows that are out there, you know, they resonate with a lot of people. One of the things they talk about in the interview is the new show, Side Effects or Common Side Effects.
Common Side Effects,
right? And a, like how big that's gotten around the world too, you know. And I think that's super cool.
Yeah, I almost wonder, because there's, especially adult animation, like I think in the United States, animation is often thought of as a childish thing, or like kids watch cartoons. And I don't think, you know, real like adult stories told through animation always break through to a wider audience necessarily in the United States.
Yeah.
And it seems to me like, especially listening to this interview, there's, that's not necessarily the case, you know, everywhere around the world.
Yeah,
and sometimes there's a greater appreciation.
And like, I wear a Rick and Morty lanyard to work every day. And there's part of me that some people, when they see that, they're like, how old are you when you watch cartoons? Right. There still is a little bit of that. It feels like there's that stigma a little bit. And Mark and Uya talk about this a little bit. They mention that, like, for Common Side Effects, Mark was like, someone who didn't watch animation, he told them about it. And then the next day, that person was like in the middle of watching an episode of it.
Yeah, streaming the show on Max. That's right.
That's right.
So. Their interview goes on to talk a little bit. They talk about a lot of things, but one of the things that is asked is about the overall story of Rick and Morty, right? Like, we've talked a lot on this podcast about our opinions in terms of whether or not Rick and Morty is really a show about like individual episodes and individual adventures. I think now, especially after 7 seasons, we can definitively say that they have worked in a common thread or a common like overarching story to aspects of these episodes. And so this is a question more about like what is the overarching story for Rick and Morty?
If we come back to Rick and Morty here, do you think there is a narrative in there, like a narrative that goes towards something? Because it feels, when I watched the last season with Rick Bryan being killed and the whole episode that sort of puts together a very some very serious relationship issues and relationship dynamics between Rick and Morty. Do you think there is like an end to that? Is it headed somewhere, or is it just gonna be adventures?
Do you know, I think the team have got a really strong vision for where it's going, and I know they've gone out and talked about this in at various times over the last year or year and a half when we've been in the hiatus, and I think they have a very strong idea in their head. And we've had some really big, you know, mildly serialized elements. Last year was a big moment in the middle of season 7 with Rick Prime, and I think this season there's always going to be some underlying narrative arc, but I think it's lots more like standalone episodic adventures, which, you know, Rick and Morty told us in the trailer as well. And I think it's just some fun family adventures. And I think there's lots of, you know, people love the characters, and there's so many characters to talk about now as well. I think there's some really great standalone episodes featuring, you know, some of the family members and heroing them. And I think, yeah, I mean, we're lucky with Rick and Morty. So it's 2025, I was going to say 26. So we're in season 8. We obviously announced the pickup of season 11 and 12 of Rick and Morty. So, you know, at least, you know, we've got the next few years of knowing that we've got Rick and Morty coming. And I think it's, you know, it's a really exciting place to know that you've got all these seasons to go. And the team are, you know, really far ahead with their planning for the series and writing for the series. So I think, I think everyone knows where they're going, but there's going to be a lot of fun along the way. And I think this season is just some really great episodes showing individual family members like Jerry and Beth and the first episode with you know, really showing Summer and Morty in a really, really fun way. And obviously still some family adventures as well, but some really great moments when you get to spend a lot more time with Jerry, everyone's favorite Jerry. And I think the other thing, amazing thing for me is, and the complex thing about international is, you know, obviously a lot of countries around the world do use English and use the original. But especially young adults now, you know, around the world that's consuming so much content in English. But we're always really mindful that English is not the first language or second language in many countries around the world. And for us, it's always been really important. A key part of my job is making the content as authentic to people as possible. And that's often via dubbing it into the local language. So if you come to something like an animation industry event like this, everyone wants to watch the content in English, but not everyone does. And I think that's a really important part. And we do give that option to people as well. But Rick and Morty has been dubbed into so many languages around the world. I think, yeah, so we're going to be in so many countries, almost 50 languages, you know, it's a lot. So often we subtitle, depending on the country. So Nordic countries, Netherlands, obviously we subtitle. But in, you know, over the in the past, it's Italian, it's Turkish, it's Thai, it's Castilian Spanish, Brazilian Portuguese, native Latin American Spanish. We've got, I'm trying to think, all Latin languages. I've got a spreadsheet, but I can't visualize it all now. But that's been a really key part as well to broaden out Rick and Morty, and if, you know, being on TV and different places like that, the dubbing is really important, I think, for people to feel like, you know, they can get the show and be part of the experience in their own language. If they want to watch in English, it's still there, but having the German, you know, alongside is really important, I think, in the case of Germany.
It also, I think, aligns a lot with the topic of the show of creating different universes, and you create a separate universe. In their own language. Yeah.
Yeah, and I think it's really important for people. I mean, it's great for us, and we see, especially in Germany, where, you know, English is, you know, German is the language here, but you know, young adults are consuming a lot of content in English, but we still see some, you know, incredible success when we use our content in German. I think an incredible Sarah Chalk, who's the voice of Beth and Space Beth, is a fun fact which people don't know. She's speaks German and French. So we've done some really great stuff with her in German as well. I think on TikTok we had, you know, 1 million views in a few days of something she did talking in German to the audience as well, which is really, really good and very useful. And Spencer Grammer speaks some French as well. So it's been incredible when we try and talk to our fans in France and Germany with, you know, the amazing voice talent to have them to speak those languages as well. So it's very handy. But yeah, people always want to feel like something's local to them, and being local and making something relevant to our audience is really important, be it dubbing, be it subtitles, yeah, the tone of voice, introducing the content. And I think that's always a really, really key part for us. One size doesn't always fit all. It's a big, big wide world out there. I know more, I work on so many of the countries, but I think it's, you know, creating a local relevant experience, authentic to the person in the country where they're watching from is a really key part of my job, and something that you know, really drives me to make the brand as big and broad as possible, broadly distributed as possible. Localization and speaking to someone in their own language is really important.
Yeah. And so there's some really good nuggets in there. Something that stood out like to me was the idea about publicity and like marketing for the show around the world. And like, I had no idea that Sarah Chalk spoke German. Did you know that?
No,
like,
I didn't know that. Or French. I didn't know she spoke French either.
Yeah. Yeah. But just the fact that she's doing promotional stuff, like, she doesn't do the dubbing, right? I couldn't tell from the interview. Like, she's not re-recording the show in other languages, is she?
I don't think so. But I think he just kind of alluded to like having done some fun stuff like that in the show. Maybe I'd be interested in knowing more and seeing if it was actually in the show, not just at like conventions and stuff like that. Or the festival circuit internationally. But you know, I did think that was super cool. What brought up my thought about like anime and stuff earlier is the whole idea about the English versus dubbing or subtitles. You know, it's because, you know, I think about that when I'm watching. I watched Let the Right One In the other day, the vampire movie, the Swedish vampire movie. And Dexter was like, we're going to watch this in English, right? And Chelsea and I are like, no, we're subtitling it because we want to hear it in its original form. And so I wonder, similarly for folks who aren't native English speakers, if they're like, yeah, we want to hear it in the native English and just read the subtitles for our language.
I assume that there's debates around the world. They're like, oh no, the sub version is better. You don't get the same inflection in the burps if you do the dub version. You have to do the subs, because otherwise you miss some of the fart sounds out of Rick when he's talking.
So
the last clip we have, this is a special nugget for all of our European fans and folks around the world, talking a little bit about some additional events that are coming up, other festivals and things that, hey, who knows, maybe one of these events will be coming your way soon. So let's check that out.
So for the new talents and fans out there in Europe, what are the upcoming festival and events to watch out for and to join in Europe?
So the good stuff we've got coming up is, so last year we had a really, really busy year of content and of festivals and content screenings in many new places. We did an amazing one with Animist in Romania, which was really good. So last year we had a really great festival presence across Europe. Which is pretty exhausting, but pretty good. They all seem to happen at the same time often. But we, obviously, in Germany this week, we are talking to South by Southwest, which is obviously a really big thing in the US. They're launching the first London edition in next month, in June. So we got something exciting in the works there. Our longtime friends at Animator in Poland, in Poznan, we are working with them again for this year's festival. And then hopefully, and obviously Annecy will be a big part for Adult Swim, as it always is. And Annecy is, you know, probably the biggest, is the biggest event on the animation calendar. And then hopefully picking up the phone again to our friends in Bucharest and in other countries around Europe, various things happening in Spain and other markets, hopefully Portugal again. So obviously we can't be everywhere all at once. But I think, you know, being in the real world with people and trying out new countries as well. As we said, so Max is, you know, it really has a great footprint. And as we've announced in the press before, there's lots of new Max markets on the way. So adult swim will be more widely available, probably more likely available in many countries. So it's going to open up even more opportunities for us.
And so there you have it. That is our interview with Ouya.
Ouya. We do want to apologize. If we butchered the shit out of your name, we are so
she
sorry.
She listens to the show. She knows we butcher names. Like,
yeah.
It's almost like a rite of passage. You should be honored. I'm just saying. But terrific interview with Mark from Adult Swim. What is it? EMFA?
EMEA.
Yeah, EMEA. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Thank you to Mark. Thank you to Mark for sitting down. Couple of other plugs just, as I try to get the email open. Again, thank you so much for doing this, but like she's got stuff she's doing. She's working stuff on the sides, right? Like yep. She's trying to put her own zine together. She wants to cover this kind of content. She wants to cover things in this space. So if you enjoy the interview, if you want to check out the things that she is doing, Ouya AMM, it's ULJAMM over on Instagram. Check it out. Get links to any other projects or things that she is doing. Thank you so much for offering to do this. And we hope you enjoyed the festival. We hope you got a chance to see the episodes and that you enjoyed them. And yeah, who knows? Maybe in the future we'll have like another overseas event that that we need covered or something like that. Any other thoughts on the interview or what we talked about?
Yeah, you nailed it. You know, thank you so much. And you know, we getting those that different perspective is so important to us. And you know, and I'll also say this: like it's you and me, two white men. from the U.S.
The most diverse demographics for this podcast.
Yeah. And so I love that we got a voice that is not just our voice out there and representing the fandom, because the fact is that the fandom is so wide, so diverse, and so full of amazing people. And we respect and want to highlight you. So again, thanks for doing that.
Thank you so much. And speaking of highlighting a diverse group of people, let's move into our last segment, which is always listener suggestions and short outs. What do we got, Brandon? We got some things to talk about. I think we have one message we got over on Instagram from Dylan Lever. It's Dylan. Dylan, thanks for writing to us. They say, hi, guys. I thought I would ask, do you know when Rick and Morty season 8 is going to come to the UK, where it is said the 26th across Europe on the trailer? I've been looking at my TV provider. For some reason, it's not showing on there for the 26th. Do you know anything about this? Unfortunately, I cut cable a long time ago. I don't even know when it comes on in the United States. The 25th is when it's being announced. I'm assuming next day, same day, that will end up being the 26th over in Europe. I'm pretty sure it's streaming on Max though, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. So Rick and Morty season 8 premieres May 26th across Europe on hashtag Max, HBO Max, and Warner TV Deutschland. So yeah, like go to Max, which by the way, I just saw on Variety today that they're bringing the HBO back to HBO Max.
Yeah, I saw a clip with John Cena, who he was in costume for what's his character
Peacemaker?
From Peacemaker, yeah. Promoting Peacemaker. And yeah, he's like, well, I guess we should record this as HBO Max, right? Because they're bringing it back. I think they're just trying to employ like graphic designers, and so they keep changing the logo so that
Zaslav or whatever his name is keeps messing things up. Anyway, so yeah, go to Max or HBO Max. I think it is HBO Max in Europe still. I'm not sure.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Hopefully, you can find it. Good luck, and yeah, good luck to everyone catching the new episodes.
That's right.
Gosh, it's so close. It's so close.
It is so close. Scary Terry Folds, shout out to the friend of the show. He's so excited. Every time when something new comes out, he's like, I can't wait. Harry and Ian, two fans of the show. Unrelated.
Yeah, like interacting with us on Instagram.
Unrelated to Rick and Morty in any way, shape, or form. They're excited too. We're excited for them. As a fandom.
Yeah. Shout out to Harry and Ian. Yeah. Thanks for listening.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think that's about gonna
do it.
They do
voices, it. Travis. They do voices, of Rick and Morty.
They do voices.
That's
our podcast. It's we have maybe one more of these before we're gonna be talking about brand new episodes of Rick and Morty. So if you are not subscribed over on YouTube for video content, if you are not subscribed with your favorite podcatcher podcast app, make sure you're hitting subscribe. If you're new here, if you're just checking this out, the best thing you can do, rate, review this podcast, share it with a friend, share it on social media, let people know how they can find us so that you can share the show with others. And excited for a full season of content and talking about Rick and Morty. We're gonna go to bed.
So not to get anybody's hopes up, but some content that we hope to have is we hope to have some interviews in the next couple months. That would be wonderful.
With who are we gonna talk to?
I don't know. I don't know.
Instagram followers?
Yeah. Hopefully. Ideally. If I remember to respond to that email from Adult Swim and be like, other than that, I think there might be an AMA over on Reddit with some folks. Hopefully we can get that going on. I'm not saying we have screeners, so we'll be able to know what the episodes are before you. But if that were the case, we wouldn't.
Definitely tune into our next episode for spoiler-free thoughts on season 8. Definitely come back for that. That's all we'll say for now. Until then, I'm Travis.
And I am Brandon.
See you next time. Bye.